Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bye, darling.
Bye, darling.
That should be the start of all the podcast now.
Bye, darling.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
And we're off.
It's funny commentary. It's really, really beautiful. Mid-July.
Yes, it's one of those days where you just want to run for quite a long time. So we've sort of decided that we're going to, because it's also Rob's first day of marathon training.
It's official training.
Is this how you describe it?
Long-term listeners will remember right at the beginning of the year, we kind of reviewed the year ahead and on a 10-miler down to Limehouse Basin. We've just this minute decided to repeat it, haven't we, Paul?
Let's do it.
It's going to be great.
But it'll be different, of course.
Yeah.
Because we're different.
Times
change. And the weather's different, times
change. People
change.
You know, there's a female doctor now. It changes everything.
Oh, my goodness, yeah, I saw that. Was a surprise, wasn't it, in terms of not necessarily the femaleness, but her.
Yeah, just...
But she is fantastic, isn't she?
Yeah,
she's so good in Broadchurch, isn't she?
That's right. I think that's the double, isn't it? They've said, well, the big... You know, the news is that it's a woman, and what we just need is a really good actor with really good charisma, you know?
Yes. Because she was... She stood out in Broadchurch,
yeah,
and they were all really good in Broadchurch.
Yeah, anyone who saw that and thought she's absolutely brilliant, but it's that she's the opposite of Peter Capaldi. She doesn't bring any kind of historical baggage as a
performer. No.
See, the main thing for me is just can't stand Doctor Who. Get bored when people talk about it. As a person who likes and talks about Star Wars, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings.
Yes, it's sort of your territory, isn't it?
Exactly. So, and I'd be a hypocrite if I moaned. But there we are. It's good.
There has been a fair bit of Twitter chatter.
Yeah, I mean, there's an echo chamber factor. I've only heard people moaning about it. I haven't heard people actually moaning
People
about
actually
it.
Moaning, yeah.
But obviously people are. I always find it amazing. I think it's ultimately testament is the wrong word, but it's a symptom of the internet age that...
Emblematic,
that's a good word. That's an excellent word.
Why not?
Hey, should we go on the sunny side of the street?
Like it.
We're just going off down.
Let's go on the sunny side of the street.
Just direct your
run
feet
over on the way.
Across the road in front of that van.
Yeah. We tried to get to the sunny side, but we got run over on the
flat. I wanted to be on the sunny side. Sorry, mate. So, yeah, so we're running down from Newington Green down towards... De Beauvoir Town. And, the men, obviously, that level of misogyny is despicable. You know, I'll never watch it again. But the thing I can't get my head around is the way these guys think that they're kind of within their rights to express that. They're not even slightly ashamed. You're kind of expecting everyone to come round.
Yes.
To their point of view. I think it's... talking about it with my wife this morning, she's saying it's that thing of, I think the people who hate in whatever way they hate, whatever form bigotry takes, people tend to think, bigots tend to think, that the people who don't agree with them are faking it. And yes, sooner or later they'll let their subconscious express itself and it will agree. You know, like Jeremy Clarkson sing a racist song.
Yes.
Anyone who was tired would just sing a racist song. You know, and I'd like to clarify at this point that I would never be tired enough to sing a racist song.
There is some... It's a little bit... It's hard for me to relate to because I'm not that into... I've never really been that into Doctor Who. But they feel in some way the story, the... I don't know, the integrity of the story's been compromised or something. It seems faintly ridiculous, but I don't necessarily think they're all bigots, because some of them are quite soft, kind of nerdy edge, aren't they?
No, I mean people going out and saying just angry hate.
Yes, yes.
You know, just, I mean, more...
But you do have that kind of nuanced argument of, like, you know, it's sort of violating the... As you say, something I don't quite understand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think step away from Doctor Who. I mean, it's interesting. Toby Haydoke, our comedian friend who's deeply steeped in Doctor Who,
gave
a very kind of even-handed response. But equally, you know, I was talking to a friend who had a bad experience with a Haiti man on a dating site the weekend.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how deeply, and I was thinking specifically of some sort of quoted tweets on Doctor Who, just these men are... Just so much hate.
Yes.
You know, pouring off them.
Yes.
Really, like you say, it's not really to do with Doctor Who. So that's a little trigger.
Yes.
For certain people.
They're just, some people are just angry at
me. Good, here's a chance for me to hate. Anyway, it's the most beautiful day.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to go straight down here. We went across another road there without really breaking stride. I don't remember looking left or right.
Impervious to traffic today. It's one of those... That was the last thing he said.
I'd like someone to pick up a running commentary, any one of our previous podcasts, and kind of animate us travelling through the world and, you know, little explosions behind us and all the crashes, all the stuff that goes on with us.
People screaming. So what happened over the weekend? What were you
Well, up to? I performed right here in London at the boat show on the Tetzel Castle.
Nice, like it, yeah.
It was great fun, actually. So it's just, I never tire of going down to the, by the river. It's beautiful down there. And I had some time between shows. I drove in from a show on Saturday afternoon in the countryside and parked in central London, parked just behind the back door of the Savoy.
There's something that still retains the ability to excite, isn't it, going into town to do some gigs?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I spent the weekend...
Even for you, and you've been gigging since, you know.
Yeah, I've been gigging since the 1860s. They didn't really have street lighting when I started.
No, that's right, you used to... there's so much smog tonight, isn't there, gentlemen?
He's absolutely right.
Gigs cancelled tonight, Black Death. Sorry.
But I did Top Secret...
Hackney Carriage for the comedian.
I did Top Secret, which is a nice gig off the back of Comp Garden. And 99, I know you're not allowed to say. And just, it was just nice zipping around town doing gigs.
Yeah, yeah.
It just felt really good.
Good people, you know, you get those zingy people because they feel the same way. People are like, we're out in the town.
You feel part of some sort of, but for a comic, when you do those little gigs in town, you do feel part of a sort of scene still, don't you?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's the kind of bubbly London comedy scene.
Well, it is like it's Which a secret, nice. Even though it isn't a secret. It's like a kind of a little club. This is us going under the... Dad must not run into this woman with the baby. Just going to get a selfie there. Could have been a selfie of me running slap bang into a newborn child.
Into a pregnant, yeah.
That wouldn't have been good.
Well, not pregnant.
It wasn't pregnant, it was out.
It was out.
The baby was outside.
That's no longer pregnant when you're carrying the baby.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor.
And I didn't actually run on Saturday or Sunday. I was sort of looking after the kids because my good lady wife was at Latitude.
Yeah.
Enjoying herself there.
I was going to go to Latitude, but it all went sideways. Oh, there's a joke there for you.
Yeah. It obviously looks like a good festival.
Sorry. I used to love it.
They've got Waitrose on site then.
You know, the best thing about Latitude is that it's half a mile from my aunt and uncle-in-law's house.
All right, okay.
We got rained off at Latitude once and packed up our tent on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And left Latitude at about midday. And by 12:30... we were in a cottage with a glass of wine in hand, cheese poured out in front of a roaring fire.
That's lovely.
That's the kind of safety net you want when you go to the festival.
So my little lad went I'll read you with his mates.
Yeah.
Ostensibly with his mum and his mates.
Yeah.
And then the second they arrived, just ditched the mum.
Never saw him
chipped
again.
Off with his mates to camp, you know, about half a mile away from his mum.
Yeah, yeah.
Never saw him again. Got a phone call from casualty.
Oh.
He'd flipped his... His foot flipping off a table.
Ooh.
You know, because he's always flipping and tripping.
Yeah, yeah, he's a mover.
Windmilling and...
He's somewhere between breakdancing and parkour.
Yes. That's where he operates. So yeah. He's so excited.
Like us.
Yeah.
Essentially. I mean, watch this.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's pure parkour. For us, parkour's getting watch up a me. Curb, isn't it?
Here, look, take a photo of this.
Yeah.
When I'm in the air, when I'm in the air.
Well, yeah.
Ready? 3, 2, 1...
That's a great parkour shot, yeah.
Did you get it?
Fantastic.
Yeah, good. Yep. It's like the beginning of Casino Royale. Very good. So is he okay? Any damage?
Well, he's not home yet.
Oh, dear.
So he spent the first day sort of following them all around and getting a bit depressed and his foot hurt.
Yep.
Then a mate arrived with some crutches, which is great.
Great.
So the crutches helped him.
Yeah.
And now he's still there.
Medical attention would have helped even
yeah.
more.
Well, I mean, they suggested we take him to hospital, but understandably, Rachel didn't want to miss the festival.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can see that.
Yeah, no.
So he was fine. He didn't want to go anywhere anyway. He was just happy hopping along in extreme pain with his
hoppity-hoppity.
Probably broken foot.
You know, and it's nice if you don't get medical attention, you get to carry a little bit of pain around with you forever, and it's a nice reminder.
And you get all that attention.
Yeah, yeah. We're just getting to... corner of Southgate Road and Baring Street with the rosemary branches. We're going to get down
so we're getting on the canal
and turn left.
Did a comically bad gig in Windsor on Friday.
Oh yeah, why was it so bad? Oh sorry.
Oh sorry mate.
He's coming in, signalling left. It was his fault.
No, it's yeah.
It was.
Windsor's a tough gig anyway. Have you played that weird gig in Windsor?
Lovely door down to the canal. There he goes. Yeah, I have.
Oh, hey up.
It's a funny one.
Hey
oh, police frogman.
Something's up there.
I hope there's nothing bad. This is quite exciting.
Something's up there.
That's where parkour goes wrong. Hey.
Hey. Trawling for something.
Yeah, I was really quite gleeful at the sight of those guys. And then I realised that they might well be looking for a corpse.
Let's absolutely,
keep,
yeah.
Let's keep the joy on the down low.
Yeah.
So, Windsor, terrible gig, come on.
Yeah, Windsor, it's a place called Fuzzy Bear Comedy.
Yeah.
Ironically. And it's just full of parties who don't particularly want to be there.
No.
Just a really, really monstrously tough gig and always
angry.
Has been whenever I played it.
A bit angry.
Angry,
lots of
posh
money.
Geezer.
Some angry guys in shirts. It's something to prove.
No, but to be fair, they sort of want to have a good time. But they're sort of the resting face when they look at you is a kind of idiotic rage that you've ventured on their territory to try and entertain them.
I like
it's
that
quite,
got to,
it's quite
you got
tough.
To their faces of idiotic rage, not half from to be fair, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah, to be fair. But then, listen, this is how the gig went.
Yeah.
The biggest cheer when I was on stage, it was in a... It was in this sort of like railway tunnel, but sort of inside.
In this weather, look, you can see the bottom of the canal. I don't think they need a frogman. They should have just stood on the edge. So, yeah, the biggest cheer when you're on stage.
Because it was very hot.
Yeah.
Was when they turned the fans back on. The crowd went wild.
Yeah.
So it was that kind of gig. Everyone was battling against the fact they were just really, really hot.
Yeah.
Not understanding each other.
Yeah.
And then I went on to do the Banana Cabaret, and that was fantastic. So... That's a great thing, isn't it?
Classic, legendary. I like the move from Top Secret in Covent Garden, which is very cool and recent, and the Banana in Balham, which is old school. It's been there forever.
Yes, yeah.
But both...
Both great gigs,
catching
yeah.
the spirit of what you want from stand-up in London.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, Top Secret is one of those places where they've got two gigs in the same building.
Wow.
Which is what you want, isn't it? That doesn't happen very often.
No, not these days.
Not these days.
So
this is the first day of your, talk me through it, where you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, well, what I did was, you know, there's no, technically no major surprises, but at the end of last week, I thought, bite the bullet, partly because I wanted to commit to the rest of my year.
Yes, yeah.
Partly because I'd had a couple of weeks in the long game, it's been quite good because it was kind of like a holiday.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of beer drinking. I probably put on a few pounds.
Yeah.
I haven't done any of my exercises, but what I did do was actually cover loads of miles.
Right. What, running miles?
Yeah.
Cool.
And if you add in the walking miles, really loads of miles.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it was still like a time off. And then at the end of last week, I thought, well, I'm going to commit to this. And I pressed the button on all my runs. So now I'm officially doing the Great North Run.
Brilliant.
And Yorkshire Marathon.
Yeah.
And New York Marathon. And New York is 16 weeks from yesterday.
Right.
And Yorkshire, which one? 12.
Which one's your target?
Well, I think...
Do you know? Have you got a target? Do
I want your opinion on this, but I think I'm fit enough to train for a strong Yorkshire.
Right.
So that's 12 weeks from now.
Yes.
We're hitting the Great North Run as the kind of...
The kind of pre-race. Half. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I've got a lot to do, but that's the fun thing right now is I've been going through my diary, working out what runs
you're going to do where.
Between now and then. It was very much to do with my life rather than my running life. You know, I just thought if I commit to these, they'll give me a plan.
Of course, yeah.
And that'll give me a way to become fitter and
eat shape,
lose a couple of pounds and drink less.
Yeah.
That's going to help with everything else in my life.
Sorry.
So, so it feels good. And it's all exciting stuff. They're all different, you know. As our friend at the Yorkshire Marathon said, oh, go ahead. And then people in America said, first of all, I have to fill out Michael J. Fox's fundraising page.
Yeah.
The Great North Run was different again, you know. So it was quite exciting.
Well, New York's going to be amazing and new, isn't it? And fantastic.
So good.
And the Great North. But you've got three good experiences there.
So, so now... I'm actually...
And then you're just going to run New York to experience it.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to be there.
Five boroughs. It's going
to
be great.
Planning to be there for, you know, like a couple of weeks with the family and do some gigs and stuff. And it's going to work now. I'll probably go there on the Thursday, do the marathon on the Sunday.
Yeah.
Come home on the Monday.
Right.
So take for a drink on Tuesday.
Yes, Jet-lagged
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So,
do me carb loading on Tuesday.
So, I want to... Just get round.
Yeah.
Be a month after York, which I want to...
So you can float in the month between, sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll say float.
So I'm going to run hard in York. I think when a month or two from now, we'll have to assess what my gold, silver and bronze targets will be on that.
Yeah.
But
So what's the longest you've run since your last big long run? I mean, we did one of over 2 hours the other week, didn't we?
Yeah, that must have been about a half marathon, maybe a little
less. Which really made me...
11 the other day.
I love those really long, slow ones. They make me feel a lot stronger for the short, quick ones.
Yeah, that's right.
Something about the way that you use your body over that length of time.
I've really assessed... I mean, it's difficult for me because I know I'm always looking for an excuse not to do a park run.
Yeah.
Because of when it is.
Yeah.
But I was about to do one on Saturday, and I thought, if you want to start mileage training on Monday, you don't want to do a 5K at speed on Saturday because you're going to feel it all week. You know, I'll do one in the week or two.
Right.
But like you say, I just think the fast running, you really know you've been doing it.
Yeah.
Whereas the mile loading... You kind of, even when you know you've been doing it, it's my kind of a dull
ache.
Rather than a topical wang.
But it gives you strength for the short, fast stuff as well.
Oh, give me strength.
It does.
It does. So, I'm really feeling good. I'm feeling very keen to mix it up. I want to get lots of miles in.
Yeah.
But also because it's quite a short... You know, I can see all those weeks.
Yes, yeah.
And I get the miles up and pull them back down again in quite a quick succession, you know what I mean? So
you basically just long run every week, increasing by a couple of miles for the next sort of 6-8 weeks or so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then by the time I get to the Great North Run in 8 weeks, I'll be winding back down again.
Yes, yeah.
So, and I've got to think about getting all my exercises back in.
Right.
And what I'm going to eat... And drink much less alcohol.
Right.
No beer.
How did that go over the weekend? I'm coming off a bit of a Sunday.
Well, I was pretty good because I managed to get rid of all the beer and vodka in the house.
How did you do that?
I drank it.
Really? Good way of getting rid of that. Yeah. That's when you know it's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Because you know where it's gone.
Yeah.
I think I've been doing quite... It's a real minor achievement, but I've been doing quite a good job of having a couple of drinks in the late afternoon, early evening,
yeah,
and then stopping.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that moment when you drink for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Me and my wife have been stopping at that point. And actually...
That's amazing.
We'll drink water now till bedtime.
Yeah.
Wake up feeling like humans.
That's good.
But equally, this morning she said, right, so we're not drinking now if you're in training. I said, well, I never said that.
Never said not.
And, yeah, it's nice to think about all the kind of food and drink. You know, again, it gives shape to the thing.
Yeah.
And also learning from previous experiences. It was in Bath where I felt that food and drink was absolutely what was wrong with my fitness. I was both kind of undernourished and overweight, you know? And that's the point of being vegan, really, is it's putting exactly the right stuff into your body, you know? Including
food.
Enough food and protein and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like my old friend who thought, I eat lettuce, I'm morally sound,
yes.
How come I'm weak?
Yes.
Eat enough, for goodness sake, ducky.
Nuts. Nuts are good.
Nuts, whole hazelnuts.
Cadbury's eight, the man that covered them in chocolate.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, I've just got sort of 10Ks in, really, in sort of two or three 10Ks late September, October.
Yeah.
And then I'll have a look and then probably just loads of cross countries up till Christmas. I just can't really afford to go away in New York. And I just want to... I'm still feeling a bit... I'm totally recovered from the marathon, but I'm not quite psychologically ready to gear up for another one.
Oh, did you see? I saw you just over the finish line after your sub three.
I saw that little... A very small little snippet of me, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, mate.
It was a video that went round again that I didn't see at the time. Someone tagged us in on after the marathon.
Yeah.
Which was showing us what the finish line looked like. It was actually quite interesting because he set off, it was all blue, carrying a fairy wand.
Yeah.
Didn't mention any of that. Got the camera off a friend with about a kilometre to go. And then ran on. I'm looking at it thinking... I said, it's quite a narrow funnel. Everyone's really going stronger. And he said, I'm going to video this. I'm not going to worry about getting a good time.
His last kilometre.
I'm watching it thinking, I think this doesn't look like the finish line does later in the day. You know what I mean? Everyone's running well.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And then sure enough, gets to the line and comes in at about
2:59:40. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, well, I don't know how many seconds you lost, but you still get yourself through, you know?
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, if that's the case... And sure enough, just on the other side of the next funnel, there's a glimpse of you.
Yeah. About to get ushered away.
Shaking hands with strangers. Quite right, too.
Yeah.
Because that was what our little VIP tent denied you, that moment of sharing it with everyone else.
Yeah, it was weird, but it was okay, though. But it just meant that sort of... sense of massive pleasure and babbling
yeah.
was focused on the girl who walked me to the VIP tent,
yeah, yeah.
which was full of like elite Kenyan athletes.
Who, A, weren't as into it as a fun thing as you, and B, had finished for 3 quarters.
Yeah, they'd finished ages ago. And then loads of TV who, of course, didn't want to talk to me, because why would you? You're just a bloke who's just beaten 3 hours. Who cares? You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it was nice to get a really nice massage.
Yeah.
I'm not going to moan, but it was a funny one, because I just prefer greeting everyone who goes over the line. And
yeah.
You know.
But I think, I totally get where you're at. I mean, I think we've talked about it already, but I think you've got there now. You're physically over the marathon. You achieve what you set out to achieve, which, although you made light of it, was huge.
Yeah, yeah, it felt
so
really
So you
big.
Really just need the time and space to think.
To have a think about what I want to do next.
What do you want to do next, you know.
But I'm focused on getting faster over 10K.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound much, but it's still going to be quite tricky.
Yeah.
And if I can do that, then I'll be in better shape for a marathon next year, should I want to do it, you know.
Angry coot babies shouting at us as we come along the canal here. Coot babies! Second clutch of coots of the year. I saw some kind of fluffy diving baby duck.
Yeah.
Hanging out with... Oh, look at this fish. Oh, look at that. Da-da.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, wow. Big fish. Big fish.
We're going to need a bigger towpath.
Big fish.
So, that's a monster. Should get Robson Green down here. Hook that sod out. Maybe that's what that police diver's going to come up with. Look what I got. I got a massive one.
Yeah. Just fishing.
Let's focus on the task. Got a big one. 5'1".
And it's a good time to train for marathon through the summer.
Yeah.
If you get days like this, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, some people don't like running in heat. I think I'm down the middle. I think
right.
that, you know, I got from you that it's nice. And I think that I like running in all conditions, you know. I think
yeah.
All the things you find easy are good on some days. And the things you find difficult are good on other days, you know.
Yeah.
It's nice, obviously nice to run on the flat, which is why it's so satisfying to run up a hill. It's beautiful to run in the sun.
Which is why it's so good bracing to run in the rain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm just shaping my, I don't know what I could achieve.
What, in terms of marathons?
Yeah.
In terms of timings?
And fitness and everything.
Yeah.
But it is a funny moment, isn't it, when you start counting the weeks? I mean, that was it. There was the emails from New York saying the training starts.
Yes.
So does it? Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, mate. But the years do just...
But it's good when you start, as you say, start training from a good base level of feeling.
Yeah.
Fairly fit, fairly strong, doing loads of running.
That's right. And again, I've even learned how to... recognise that, you know. I remember my yeah. first marathon, we were saying, so how's the training going? I should be training.
Yeah.
And I was running, you know.
Yes, yeah.
That's the main bit of the training, is the running. And
and you're going to sort of just be aware of your... try and run a bit more whilst being aware of your legs and all that sort of...
Yeah, I mean, I think that...
injury sort of things.
Without being foolish about it, I think that in recent times it's just slightly happier to... make myself hurt a little bit more.
Right.
Because very much touch wood. Nothing's ever resolved as wood into injury. You know, I've always
yeah.
got odd aches and pains. I worry most when they get very specific. Like
of
my,
course, yeah.
My right thigh often niggles a lot in a variety of
right.
ways.
What, on the top of your right thigh sort of thing?
Yeah, just like above my knee to the right. Yeah.
Right.
Whatever that is. But equally, you know, when I run harder, run up hills... it hurts. And particularly that mountain stuff the other day.
Yeah.
It kind of made it feel like I was strengthening it rather than hurting it.
Here we go. Someone trying to get through.
Yeah.
Whoop. It's all right, mate. All right.
We're just along by here.
This
Victoria
is good,
Park.
Yeah.
It's immaculate.
We do like Vicky Park, yeah.
It's not even too hot, is it? It's gorgeous.
No, it's lovely, yeah.
It's really nice as well because I feel very emotionally attached to Wimbledon. I'm a little bit sad that it finished. I'm trying to work out what it is, because, you know, I like it, but I'm not excited about any sport, really. It doesn't really, it's not really my thing.
Yeah.
You know? And even Wimbledon, I follow it, and then miss a bunch of it, you know? And And even when I'm following it, because I'm not experienced with finding the sport, it gets upsetting when you're watching it and you're into it and it doesn't go the way you want it to go.
It felt a sort of... I mean, I love tennis.
Yeah.
It felt a slightly strange tournament this year.
Yeah.
People kept sort of getting injured. There wasn't many epic games.
No.
Like the final yesterday with Federer, who's obviously a completely different class and amazing.
Yeah, and an incredible
Incredible shot selection and grace. He's just superb, isn't he?
Yeah, always makes it look easy.
But when you're one set down halfway through the second set and you're in tears...
It's not good,
is it? It's not a good day, don't you?
Yeah, and everyone's going, oh, he's injured, you know. But really, I think Cilic was crying because he knew he was going to lose.
I think it's a combination, wasn't it? I think it was like... He might have been carrying an injury. He's losing. And when you lose in games like that... It's like being in the middle of something that you don't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just lost in everything you try, he betters.
It's interesting.
It's like experiencing chaos.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
You know, it's very disorientating.
What am I supposed to do here? Yeah. Look at this, sorry. They've blocked us out.
Oh, what?
There's some kind of steps here. We'll see what we can do.
What?
What?
Surely worth a photo, is it?
They are, apologise. Just keep running, see if you can break through it. Think parkour. Jump. Not that way. Yeah, I don't think you can get through it.
I don't think we can.
Good effort, though.
I don't think we can.
Oh, so
here it is.
Across the road.
Rob, here.
Is there a map?
Yeah. We've got to go right down to the... Come and have a look, because you'll understand.
Yeah, well, good, because recently my map reading has been off the scale.
No, but I won't be able to.
I won't
be able to understand.
I just went through a... Oh, yeah, I see. I've just been through stinging nettle there, watch out.
No.
That's really stung me.
Oh, goodness.
What? Oh, I blame the Canal and River Trust. Oh, look at that stinger. Look at that. Stuck up and got me. I need a dock leave.
Constant,
and I think it's interesting the psychology of it, right? Because Roger Federer, he's clearly such a... So we go left here and then right again.
Yeah.
Clearly such a good guy.
Should we run just on the grass for a bit, just for a change?
As long as we can get out at the end. Yeah, go on the grass.
Yeah, we can.
Into Victoria Park. Thank you to the Canal and River Trust for making this possible. Look at that. It's so lovely here today. Federer seems such a softie, yeah? He's got that easy way with his tennis. He's beautiful with his family. He's diffident in interviews and stuff. And yet...
He's so ruthless.
To be the tennis player he is,
you've
got to be so strong.
He's so
And everyone's talking all along about what a lovely guy Cilic is. And obviously, he was injured and he had a tough day yesterday.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if he could ever be as brutal as a Djokovic or a Federer or a Murray or a Williams sister would be. You know?
Well, yeah, I mean... Federer gave him no mercy at all.
No, he just played
on. And you wouldn't expect any at that level.
He's
so clinical, Federer.
Yeah.
He's ruthless.
He thought the nicest thing he could do for him would be to
finish him off quickly. Yeah. So
I also thought that
quite a tough scenario. Oh, mama! My foot hurts! I'm getting beaten up! It was awful.
He didn't want to be crying, you know.
No, of course.
He's on the telly.
Yeah.
Oh, it was heartbreaking.
Millions of people. I mean, Becker's there saying, this is so hard, there's no hiding place on centre court.
Yeah, yeah. He said, you really gave it.
I'm a bankrupt, and there's no hiding place for me.
The only hiding place is in the cloakroom at the restaurant.
Yeah. My entire fee goes to my various debtors. But tennis is a really tough sport like that, because it's just brutal combat, isn't it? We can't get in there.
The wrong canal, Paul.
Is it?
We want to be over there.
All right. That's a good one. We would have ended up really
lost.
That's
what they wanted you to think. So...
Because it's sort of... It's such an individual thing. You can't blame anyone but yourself, you know.
No,
it's
that's
just you.
Right. And equally, because he was blowing out so badly, we can't go across here. I'm going to risk this. Look, we're in another park. No one even knows what park it is. Look at that.
We've found an unknown little pocket. But the women's final followed a faintly similar pattern, which I didn't see. It's close first set, and then...
Well, that's what I was going to say, is I think the difference there was, it felt like Djelic kept trying to come back and play hard. He didn't have it, so it didn't make much difference. But he wanted it, you know?
Yes.
And I heard the first set of the women's final, and then I didn't. I was doing a gig during the second set, and then I heard Venus's...
It looked like she just backed in, didn't it?
I think she thought, I'm losing this, so I can't be bothered to play it. Which, in turn... It's not right.
It's outrageous. It's outrageous.
You've got to give it a go.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see it. I don't know. But that's what.
But
it
that's
felt
what
like.
We've. That's reports. Yeah, it's felt like if I can't win this set, I'm not going to win the game.
Yeah.
So let's just sack it and go home.
Yeah.
That's poor for a final, isn't it? That's poor.
Exactly. I mean, it's a problem with Wimbledon. Anyway, even without this week of injuries and shenanigans, they're often the most dramatic game of the tournament is not the final.
Yes.
For example, this tournament is Muller Nadal, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's always someone you haven't heard of beating some legend.
Yeah.
And over five sets.
And then the effort tires them out so much they lose the next game.
They go out in the next round.
Yeah.
That's why, I think that's why Macaroni Borg is famous, is because it was the final.
Yeah.
I also think that's why I love it. See, like I say, I don't really follow it, but we had this brilliant afternoon. What's that, 81, 83?
Yeah. What, well, with the... Which one the...
McEnroe Borg. Fine.
Yeah, I think the 81 was McEnroe Connors.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was 82, I don't know.
I don't know, I know you were gigging. You were,
yeah, I was doing a double up with the boat and Top Secret at the time.
Yeah. But... we were in a rubbishy old car.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the country. And they found, Mum and Dad found somewhere on the top of the hills where we could get a radio signal. Start the car doors open, sat in the sunshine listening to the tennis.
Nice.
We were able to play hide and seek, played frisbee, ate a couple of meals, pretended we were just as interested, going, yeah, are we going home soon? Yeah, just a bit longer. But
what
it just
day.
Planted
yeah.
that magical
yes.
idea of what summer should be forever.
I remember when... Let me tell you. I remember when Virginia Wade won the final in 1977 because we had the afternoon off school to watch it.
Right.
The teacher led it. The teacher said, we're just going to watch tennis now.
Yeah.
Because she was crazy about tennis.
Yeah.
It's a great thing about the state system.
Yeah.
Towards the end of, towards summer, it seems that kids spend most of the time just watching telly.
Yeah.
Is that the great thing about it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's one of the great things.
It's one of the things about it.
Yeah. It is a thing.
Yeah. The teachers don't come in and everyone just watches telly.
Well, I think the way they talk about how hard they work them, which is definitely true.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's true that certainly, well, my children's primary school is... You know, it's rubbish. We complained about them to the learning trust. That's how another story.
Right.
But they do seem to kind of be planning for the end of term.
Halfway through the term.
With a variety of sports, sporting events and end of term shows and nothing else for about 6 weeks.
Yes, yeah.
You want to kind of pop in and say, you know what we should look into at this stage? I don't know, a little bit of maths.
Yeah.
Got any humanities?
But we're rehearsing.
You want to spend half an hour on?
We're watching videos.
It's another sports day.
Yeah. Has your daughter hosted the event yet?
She was the host of
how did that
go? Cabaret on Friday.
Oh,
Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have been there. It was good.
You couldn't make it because of this gig?
Of course. I never see them do the shows,
that's
which
terrible.
Is both terrible as a dad and as a very fussy watcher of shows.
Probably
it's
for
a
the best.
Relief.
Yeah.
I always love to see their work. But I'm still quite a hard taskmaster.
Yeah.
And as for everyone else...
You could have paced that better.
Oh, yeah.
I like the opening, but it's a bit flabby. Yeah.
I believe this. Maybe I'm letting my own meanness off. But I don't think any audience member really enjoys watching stuff that isn't any good.
Yeah.
It's just faking it. You know?
I think there's a certain...
I don't think charity exists when you subsume yourself to watching a show.
I think there's a leeway for people watching their own kids up to a certain age.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, I remember seeing kids, Bonnie and her mates, when they're about, five or six or whatever.
Yeah.
Coming on stage and being rubbish and it being the most charming thing you could ever see.
Yeah.
But once you get to, 11, 12, you want a bit of quality.
Yeah, and also just to be really sort of meh about it. So when you put time and money into it, you go to... I mean, one of the loads of little fishes. They can see fish in the canal.
Fish.
You know, when they spend weeks and weeks going to a drama club, and
right.
it's not about acting and auditions. It's about increasing their sense of fun and interpersonal relationship skills.
Right, yeah.
That's all well and good, but when you go to the end of term show and the teacher is just telling them where to go and what to say.
That's not good enough,
What did you do for the other 10 weeks?
We played.
Ultimately, you just want to say, learn your blooming lines.
Sort it out, yeah.
Learning your lines, that's not too much. But I think there is a bit of a... It's very hard once kids start to get into arty stuff to find the right amount of education for them outside school. Because either, if you try really hard, you can find a kind of mare clinic-ish, abuse model.
Right.
Where kids are bullied into performing like they would have been 150 years ago. And then the rest of them are all just really nice. We're not really worried about outcomes, just about having a good time. So I want one where you teach them their moves and their lines, don't make them cry.
Oh, it's funny the street dance model, because that's inherently competitive.
Right.
Because they have, it's encoded in the language around it. Battles, They have solo freestyle battles where they battle each other to see who's got the funkiest moves. So they want to learn the moves.
Do they
to
use
compete.
The word funkiest though?
Occasionally they'll use the word funky. But they're also really in it together. There's something about it, it manages to be both.
It's like sport.
Extremely competitive, but also extremely nurturing, you know.
It's a bit like the tennis, really. More fuss and coots.
I think it's just that kind of shared scene thing, isn't it? Because it's like a lifestyle thing. But it also tends to be run by and frequented by kids who are used to things being a bit tougher.
Yeah.
So they're not quite as... They're okay if someone does shout at them occasionally.
It's a kind of street vibe. Yeah. Whereas the middle classness of the kind of artsy end of things, there's always going to be some children there whose parents said... I never want them to hear the word no.
Yeah.
How's that going to work?
Yeah. Everything they do is equally valid. Which is nice for a while, isn't it? Let's face it.
No. I don't like it.
We need standards.
How are they going to learn?
What is quality and what isn't quality?
When he grows up, you want him to spout hate on the internet without feeling like... Yeah. He has to stop.
There's no judgment.
There's no judgment.
Well, I got involved in a bit of a... Not a row, but...
A
chat about...
Ooh.
The film. I don't know whether we've talked about it. Baby Driver.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Right.
We talked about it.
Yeah, but I got...
Maybe not on here.
Yeah, I got a bit of a... Just didn't particularly think it was very good.
Yeah.
But massively hyped.
Yeah.
Massive! But listen, make your own mind up, have a look.
But what was the row?
It was just about whether it was any good or not and whether it's even right to say it's no good.
Look at this, right? Mid-July, but some of these berries are black.
Which
I
means?
I tell you, Wimbledon's over and autumn's coming.
Really?
Yeah, we should come
Is back
that
and what
pick
it means?
These. Yeah. Blackberrying, that's an autumn pursuit. It's an autumn pursuit.
Like marathons and cross-country.
Yeah. Game of Thrones. Autumn is coming, winter is coming. I don't know, I've never seen it.
Which I still haven't seen.
No.
So this is a pure sort of out and back run, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
I can't remember it now.
We get to Limehouse Basin, underneath a big bridge that the London Marathon goes over.
Right.
Without us realising. And when we're doing it. And then let's go do 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 do. I heard 633 Squadron on the radio this morning. You know what that is?
I don't know what that is.
I had to go for a little fly around the garden.
Oh, nice.
That's really what these kids need. And people training for their runs who are younger than us.
Yeah.
They need some World War II.
Yes.
Music. Well, film music. Now look here.
Bit of national service.
My daughter stepped in immediately. Started flying around the garden to the music on the radio. Turned it up and went flying around. And she just suddenly appeared in the doorway. Here he comes. Look at him. Up against the clouds. Great. I can hear something.
There's something straight happening. There's some kind of festival-y.
Sports day type deal. See, back when I used to do theatre and education.
Yes. TIE.
TIE.
On manoeuvres.
IE. Here comes. Doing education in schools. Funny enough.
Through the medium of theatre.
That reminds me of the first time I did a driver awareness training course. That's a bit of a giveaway the way I phrased that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. One of many.
The guy running the thing.
With all the other comics.
Was kind of old and military. And I thought that was so carefully judged to get round the kind of people who've been on a driver awareness course.
Yeah.
I kind of half expected it. Him to reach up at the end and pull his mask off and to be a 22-year-old woman who'd just come out of drama school.
You know? They are very weird.
I decided to be a military older gentleman. It commands a lot more respect.
They're very weird, the people who host speed awareness courses, aren't they?
Yes.
It's a weird subset. It's and like a really bad episode of sort of Glengarry Glen Ross or something. Sort of, do you know what I mean? Sort
a, always.
Always B,
B,
C, slowing down.
Slowing down. Yeah, and then they're weird. And the people who attend the workshops are blindingly obvious.
Yeah.
You know, the people who are really angry about it.
Yeah. Just angry to be there.
Really don't understand it. And the rest of the people who want those people to not make a fuss, so that all is over much quicker.
It's, the people who host those things have got, the problem is with it, is they've got status in an environment that no one wants to be in, which renders it as no status.
Yes.
Do you know? No one wants to be there.
Yeah.
So there's no status here anyway.
Yeah, there used to be an element of that on the comedy circuit when I first started out.
Which was?
People who were kind of famous in the big clubs.
Yeah.
So they're right at the top of the heap in comedy, but the person in the street wouldn't know who they were. That kind of thing.
Yes, yeah.
I've got status, but only in my little world.
And now, it's the crowd who've got status.
Yes.
On their phones.
Chasing status. So yeah, TIE, right? Lots of interactive stuff used to get people in the audience to do things.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you want to get someone in performance to do something, you've got to be strict with them.
Right.
You don't have to be harsh with them, you can be kind. There's a difference between saying to someone who you want to, you know, to do an impromptu join in, you know, like a volunteering audience member. It's the difference between saying, stand over there, and saying...
All right. Sorry, mate, let's go.
Do you want to come and stand over here for a minute?
Yes, yeah.
You know, the latter...
Yes.
...is primed to make that person look like a dickhead.
Yeah.
Whereas you stand over there, you're giving them the gift.
Yeah.
They have to do it, so it's not embarrassing. And that's what I mean about getting these kids to do stuff. Push them to do something without planting the seed of doubt that they can also not do it.
Not do it, yes. Yeah, you're right.
It's not a generosity.
You're right, yeah.
It's not across, it's just go across this.
Going across here.
So we're down at the Sir Limehouse Basin.
Right.
And we're going to go just to the corner here and enjoy the sunshine.
Should we do a bit of stretching?
Do a
bit of halfway through stretching and then run back.
Yeah, when we were here in... at the turn of the year, we talked about all the stretches. How much stretching do you do? Do you do any now?
Probably about...
Yeah, that's you and that boat in Canary Wharf.
Probably about 20, 25 minutes every year.
Yeah, good.
Just over
so
the...
So really
just over,
staying on top of it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, great.
Sometimes I'm worried about being too flexible.
It just feels like we're at the seaside now, doesn't it?
This is gorgeous, isn't it?
Absolutely spectacular. A lovely excuse to just stop a minute.
Didn't we run around here with Lisa? No, we didn't.
No, we were down by the water, but that was further back towards... That was Wapping. This is the Limehouse Basin. I've got water. Oh, look, there comes the...
And is that, where's this bridge that you run over? You run over this
one?
That's
the DLR. No, over there. See where the cars are?
All right.
Here comes the DLR going down to the XL. Don't want to go yet. It's a little bit early. Right, I haven't stretched. But should we run back?
Can we just have a quick stretch?
Yeah, good. Okay, I'm going to do a long leg like this.
Just a quick one.
So I'm leaning on a post. I've got 1 foot, 2 foot lengths back from the post, and the other foot, 2 foot lengths better than that.
Hello, Steve speaking. Whilst Rob continues to get his leg over, Runcom invites you to join Paul and Rob for part two, to be published very soon.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cut. 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 Cut.